I want to say thanks to Ryan and to Amanda, but also say thanks to there's people who get here about 6:45 to make everything happen, and with the little bugs of wind and cracks in the sound system, we are grateful for their service and their time and their commitment to be here so early and to make things ready for us. Also the deacons and others who provide the refreshments. As we come and open up and understand God's word, let's pray and seek God's guidance for our understanding. Would you pray with me? Dear God, we do thank you for your word, for your truth that we were able to read, and we were able to open up and see your guidance for our lives. We pray, Lord, that as the words that I have studied and have taken, that they would be used to your glory, guided by your Holy Spirit, that the words that I say would be true. Anything that I would say that's not true would be quickly forgotten, and that your truth would be etched on our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 127. Hear the word of the Lord. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, an offspring a reward from him. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. This is the word of the Lord. Now, a lot of people say when I talk with middle schoolers and high schoolers, aren't you scared of talking to middle schoolers and high schoolers? And ever since about college, I've never really been afraid of middle school or high schoolers because I've been there. I've done that. I know what it's like. I have a certain sense of mastery of middle school and high school. But when it comes to talking to adults or about things of parenting and being a father, I'm not quite as confident because I'm still there also. I have three boys, and I feel like at times when I'm talking about being a father, I'm looking at someone else who's going through open heart surgery while I'm going through the same open heart surgery at the exact same time. So the words that I share, the reflections upon fathers and our role in our children and how we bless them, know that I'm right there with you. This isn't something I've mastered or completely figured out, but seek the guidance from God and others that I know and trust to guide me in my understanding. A lot of people have all of us have different relationships with our fathers. There's no two people that are the same. Even with my three sisters, all of us have a different relationship with our fathers. Some people are blessed by fathers that continue to reach out. They have a great relationship, while others never even knew who their father was. And I want to be careful that I don't shut out half the people or more because they think I'm not a father. I don't have anything to hear, because this is for all of us. All of us who have some kind of contact with other people, mainly children, and the opportunity that we have for blessing for those children. A lot of people make assumptions about my father, and I've shared some things about him at different times. People assume that he was a pastor. He wasn't. He's was a regular businessman, owned a few companies, was in the military, retired as a lieutenant colonel, and spent a lot of his service in the military and the reserves. But one significant day was June 17th, 1962. And as I looked back through the calendar, I realized that was his first Father's Day. The first Father's Day that he had with my oldest sister. And today, June 17th, 2012, is very likely his last Father's Day. My dad turns 81 tomorrow, and he had a knee surgery back in October. He had shown signs of dementia for the past few years, forgetfulness and other things like that. But after the knee surgery, he never really came back all the way from the anesthesia. And so for the past several months, he's been in kind of a hazy cloud. And they told us about 2 or 3 weeks ago that he's nearing the end, and nearing the end of hospice. So as I've been thinking about this sermon and preaching today, I know that God's had a plan for this for quite a while, as I've reflected upon God and my own father, and some of the lessons that he taught to us, taught to my sisters and I. One of the things that researchers say about our relationships with God is the relationship on earth that most impacts our relationship with our Heavenly Father, with God, is that of our earthly father. There are a lot of parallels of the way that we see the role of our earthly father with how we see our Heavenly Father. And so what are some of those things that I saw from my earthly father? He was busy. There was a time in my life where every other week he was gone. He was gone on sales, business trips, but he also knew that there was a priority. There's a priority of Boy Scouts, because on Monday night was our Boy Scout meeting, and he never left for a trip until Tuesday morning after the Boy Scout meeting. And then he was always back in town on Friday night for the fall, for that weekend, whether it be a camp out with scouts or just to be there with the family. Family was always very important. And my dad's words weren't always the most eloquent. He wasn't the most talkative person. And he didn't give a lot of speeches about things I needed to do. But his presence was constant. So one of the things that I know that he was speaking to me or showing me about God was consistency. He'd always be there. He also showed to me a reliance upon God. As I said, he was always home on the weekends, and the thing was, there was one thing that was never negotiable, and that was worship on Sunday morning. Yes, we always went to the 11 o'clock service, and half the times we were 10 or 15 minutes late, but we were there at the 11 o'clock service every Sunday morning. And that's something that it was not just when we were at home, but when we were on vacation, we'd go to church wherever it was that we happened to be. And that's something that he showed me in awesome and amazing ways. As I said, he wasn't a person who had a lot of eloquent words, but he did bless me by that teaching. But one of the things that we read and understand in Scripture is that, and from this book in Psalm, is the reality of what does our work show to our children? What is our work supposed to be geared toward? As it says that the laborers, unless we labor for the Lord, we labor in vain. And as I said, my dad wasn't a pastor. He never earned a paycheck for a church. And some of us think, okay, how can we be a businessman? How can we be a financial planner? How can we be an attorney, whatever, and do it for the Lord? And the big thing that I think my father and that I hope that we can show is dependence upon God. That's what we're called to do as followers of Christ, whether fathers, whether mothers, whatever our role is, of a dependence upon God. And that's what the psalmist speaks about. Is that we are supposed to show dependence upon God in all that we do. Not always my ways, but what are God's ways. Part of this power that we have in teaching this and showing this is the word blessing. The way that we use our words for other people. Now I want you guys to say a few things so that you'll maybe remember some of the key things from this morning. I want you guys to say blessing. Now say it like you mean it. I want you to say blessing. Blessing. Fantastic. We all have the opportunity to use our words as a blessing. We have that opportunity to bless children, bless other people around us with those words that we have chosen, that we've been given. As it says in the Scripture, children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward from Him. And how do we use this reward? How do we use this blessing of children around us? We use our words to bless them. Yesterday afternoon, I was over in Stanford at a big box store doing a little bit of shopping, and but I was by myself, and I don't know about Pastor Sam or Pastor Brandy or Greg, but whenever I'm about to preach, my sermon is always going through in my mind in different ways, and it wasn't quite complete. And the toy section at Target really gave me what I needed. And as I was walking by, I heard a father and his daughter who was maybe 3 years old. And the daughter was inside the shopping cart and was crying. And I don't know what was led up to there. And anyone within 50 feet heard this. So if you're there, we'll see if we remember it the same way. But I hear the father say, "You're acting like a baby. You're going to stay in your crib." And then she cries harder. And then he responds, "You ruined yesterday. You're ruining today. This is Father's Day weekend. You're ruining it for me." My heart broke. My heart broke for this daughter who is just crying and her dad who's yelling at her. And I prayed for that kid. I thought, how do I go talk to this dad and invite him to the beach tomorrow morning? But then I realized that all of us at times have used words to hurt. Words that are so powerful. These words of this father, and we've all been there who've been parents, know the frustration of maybe a crying kid that we just can't get across to him. But I've realized the louder I yell, the more angry I get, it doesn't help the situation at all. This kid doesn't even know what Father's Day weekend is. She doesn't even know how to ruin things. She just knows that she's upset about something, and that's her response. And right then, she's probably scared of her dad. So there's the reality that all of us have been there, using words, maybe not in that same way in a public situation, maybe in the privacy of our home, but words that have the opportunity to heal and to bless, and at times we use them to hurt. So what are we going to use our words? How are we going to choose to use our word as a blessing? And I want you to say, I am a blessing. Say that with me. I am a blessing. We are each a blessing and have that opportunity to give to other people. There's a survey that came out this past week from a website called Bundle.com, and the accuracy of it, I'm not going to really stand on the accuracy of it, but it rated what they said were the most spoiled communities in America. And the way they looked at this was to look at toy stores and other consumer goods that were bought for children and how much is spent on children. And Darian, we came in third in the United States of America, the third most spoiled community in America. And I look at that and say, that's bad. But then I also look at it and say, you know, that's us. We care and love our children. And we want them to have the best of everything. And the easy thing to do is to give them stuff. To give them the newest electronics, to hook them up with the coolest gadgets, the new bicycles, the new lacrosse sticks, whatever it is, that's the easy stuff to give to them, to indulge them. But is that really the way that we bless our kids? Is that really the way that we give them a blessing? There's a scripture verse, a story that is one of my favorites, and probably some for you, that I think shows us the danger of blessing our kids with stuff. The story of the prodigal son, and I'm not going to retell the whole story, but we know of the two sons and the father who is wealthy. And the one son goes to the father and says, I want my stuff now. The stuff that I'd normally get when you die, I want it now. And the father gives it to him. As we know, he goes off and squanders it and gets to the point where he realizes he needs to go back home and to be a servant. And usually we look at that, and it's so true that the father is there to accept back the son. But then the second part of it that doesn't always get as much attention is the other son, the son who has stayed there, has worked for the father to make his land and to do the job to help out the son, or to help out the father the whole time. And we read the point where he says, this son of yours wasted all your money, and here I'm doing the right thing, and you still love us both the same. What gives? And the reality is what both of the sons are saying is, Dad, I love your stuff. And what it is the father saying, you know, it's not about the stuff, it's about me. And how many times do we miss our kids for who they are because we're more consumed with the stuff? The other things, and we don't see the rest of this story. There's not a Paul Harvey version to the parable of the lost son, because both the sons have not done what is best. They've loved the father for the stuff and not for who he is. How do we get beyond this? How do we move beyond our love for stuff? One person told me when I was younger, said, one of the key differences is that we love people and we use things. We love people and we use stuff. How do we look at that, or how does that blessing show in our relationships? One of the things I think that we need to understand or know is our words and the power that they have. We know the power of encouraging. We know the power of blessing. But what does that mean? What does that look like as a follower of Jesus Christ, as a father, as a mother, as a teacher? How do we show that? And I guess the question that comes to me is, how vulnerable are we with our kids? How honest are we with our kids in our own spiritual journey? There's three things I want you to ask or to think about if you've shared these with your children or young people that you know. First of all, have you ever shared with your child your story of salvation, how you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? They just probably know, a lot of us, that they've always gone to church. My own father, I don't know how he came to Christ. I know he was confirmed as a Presbyterian, but I don't know what day it was that he said, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. The cool thing is that the day that I trusted in Jesus Christ was one night when I ended up staying up too late watching the news and saw something I probably shouldn't have seen, them burying a body. And it scared me to death. I went in my room and started crying. My dad went in there, found me, and I told him what had happened. He explained to me what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ and never to fear death. From that day on, I've never feared death because of what my dad was able to teach me. So do we have stories like that that we share with our children of the way that Christ has impacted our lives? The second thing, have we shared with others the way that we've been forgiven? The way that we have maybe made a mistake, a significant mistake in our lives. We don't have to go into all the details, but this, a mistake that we've made in our lives and how God's power has changed our lives. Have we done that before? Part of the survey that came out a month or so ago about Darien High School students is how much of a perfectionist culture, how much perfectionism so many of the students feel. And there's a psychologist from Columbia University who says about the kids that saw this high demand for perfection, so that they saw achievement failures as personal failures. And they had relatively high depression, anxiety, and substance abuse. So for those people that saw this perfection and they failed, did they know that it was okay to fail? We learn a lot from our mistakes. And if we shared with our children, with young people, times where we have made mistakes, times where we've learned and been redeemed through those mistakes. And the last thing I want you to encourage you is to share with your children or share with others how God has guided you, the ways that he has shown you his path and his righteousness. We read in the Old Testament of the Israelites as they're traveling through the Promised Land, and they're almost there, and they cross through the Jordan, and they're told to grab 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan and erect an altar as a way to remember God's deliverance, God's promise. Are there ways that you can see and you've known God's deliverance, God's promise in your life that you can share with your children? It says in the scripture, and we read it a minute ago, like arrows in the hands of the warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. We don't think about arrows very much unless you're Tom Hack or other bow hunters in our community, but I was doing a little bit of thinking of arrows and the children and the quiver, and what kind of arrows, if we think about the children in our community that God has blessed us with, what are we trying to do? Are we producing arrows like this that don't fly very straight, that aren't very scary, that stick sometimes to the glass wall, and they're just kind of fun? And there's nothing wrong with fun, trust me. Is this the kind of arrows that we want to produce? Or is it an arrow more like this? This one, a replica of what the Native Americans use, with a real warhead or arrowhead on the top. And these would fly fairly well. They were a way of hunting and also defending their land. But they also had their limits where they would break. They're made out of wood, and the arrowheads were rather clumsy and would be tied on together. Or are we like something like this? A professional arrow with a tip that is pretty sharp, with feathers that are, I'm sure, scientifically made. And this arrow, when shot properly, I found out, can travel at almost 200 miles an hour. It's pretty impressive. So as we think about the quiver of arrows that God has blessed us with, whether it's our own children, or children in your neighborhood, children, aunts and uncles, your nieces and nephews, grandchildren, what are we looking at as we try to seek and bless them? If we're truly being a blessing to them, using words of encouragement, words of support, words not only that say good job, but also here is God. That's the key. Blessing them with words of support and love and directing them towards our Heavenly Father. Because no matter what mistakes we've made, no matter what problems we have, God is able to forgive us. No matter if we've been a lousy father who hasn't been there for our kids when they need a lousy mom, God is there to forgive us and to heal us. So really, we have a choice a lot of times, a choice of seeking after God's way. A way of seeking after God's truth and purpose. And how do we do that? And there's opportunities that we all have, and sometimes we miss out on it. And Dwayne's going to come up and share a closing song called Dance with Cinderella. And this song is by a singer, Stephen Curtis Chapman. And Dwayne and I went back and forth and talking about this song and what to do with it or how to share it. And it's interesting. It's a little bit of a story of, you know, the opportunities that we have with our children. What do we do to take those opportunities? How do we use those? And this song was written, Dwayne, was about 8 or 9 years ago. It's about 8 or 9 years ago. And tragically, Stephen Curtis Chapman lost a daughter and was tragically killed in an auto accident a few years after this song was written. And so it's interesting knowing what was ahead in his life and the healing that came of the opportunities for blessing. Do we take them or not? So, Dwayne.
She spins and she sways to whatever song plays without a care in the world. And I'm sitting here wearing the weight of the world on my shoulders. It's been a long day and there's still work to do. She's pulling at me saying, Dad, I need you. There's a ball at the castle. And I've been invited. It's time for me to practice my dancing. Oh, please, Daddy, please. So I will dance with Cinderella while she is here in my arms. 'Cause I know something the prince never knew. Soon the clock will strike midnight and she'll be gone. She says he's a nice guy and I'd be impressed. She wants to know if I'd approve of the dress. She says, Dad, the prom is just 1 week away and I need to practice my. So I will dance with Cinderella while she is here in my arms. 'Cause I know something the prince never knew. Oh, I will dance with Cinderella. I don't wanna miss even one song. 'Cause all too soon the clock will strike. And she'll be gone. Well, she came home today with a ring on her hand, just glowing and telling us all they had planned. She says, Dad, the wedding's still 6 months away, but I need to practice my dancing. Oh, please, Daddy, please. So I will dance with Cinderella while she is here in my arms. 'Cause I know something the prince never knew. All too soon the clock will strike midnight and she'll be
gone. There we go. We all have incredible opportunities to bless children around us. And who knows how long God is going to give that opportunity. One of the great generals in American history was Douglas MacArthur, a highly decorated general. But 1 year he was given an award by the National Father's Day Committee. And at that time when he received that award, he's quoted by saying, "By profession, I'm a soldier and take great pride in that fact. But I am prouder, infinitely prouder, to be a father. A soldier destroys to build. The father only builds, never destroys. The one has potentials of death. The other embodies creation and life. And while the hordes of death are mighty, the battalions of life are mightier still. It is my hope that my son, when I am gone, will remember me not for the battle, but for the home." May we all be in the same way, where our children know our homes as places where God is blessed, where his word is proclaimed as truth. Would you pray with me, please? Dear God, we do thank you for our Heavenly Father, for you, that is forgiving and loving no matter what. And God, we see and know children and others that we have an influence, and even children who are able to bless others, that we have a great opportunity to share your love, to share the way that you've worked in our lives, your grace and forgiveness. And Lord, if this morning we are recognizing areas where we have fallen short, it's not too late. Not too late for your forgiveness that you give, and also forgiveness that we can seek and be reconciled by others that maybe we are estranged from or have difficulties with. So God, give us those words of truth to share with others. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand for the benediction? And if you'd like to, after the service, Pastor Sam will be at the cross, or other Stephen ministers. If you'd like to pray with anyone or myself, we'd be happy to pray with anyone. So now receive this benediction. Go in the love of God, the Father, who sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the price for our sins and offer us salvation and forgiveness. And go in the power of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God with us all today and every day. And all of God's people said, amen.